In your Bibles, please, for our first reading to the 18th chapter of John's Gospel. John chapter 18, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired Word of God. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Kidron, or Cedron, as it's written here, where was a garden, into the which he entered, and his disciples. And Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place, for Jesus oft-times resorted thither with his disciples. Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, Whom seek ye? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus saith unto them, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. And as soon as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. Then asked he them again, Whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. He answered, I have told you that I am he. If therefore ye seek me, let these go their way, that the saying might be fulfilled, which he spake, of them which thou gavest me, have I lost none. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it, and smote the high priest's servant, and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Then said Jesus unto Peter, Put up thy sword into the sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? Then the band and the captain and officers of the Jews took Jesus and bound him and led him away to Annas first, for he was father-in-law to Caiaphas, which was the high priest that same year. Now Caiaphas was he which gave counsel to the Jews that it was expedient that one man should die for the people. And Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. That disciple was known unto the high priest, and went in with Jesus into the palace of the high priest. But Peter stood at the door without. Then went out that other disciple, which was known unto the high priest, and spake unto her that kept the door, and brought in Peter. Then saith the damsel that kept the door unto Peter, Art not thou also one of this man's disciples? He saith, I am not. And the servants and officers stood there who had made a fire of coals, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself. The high priest then asked Jesus of his disciples and of his doctrine. Jesus answered him, I spake openly to the world, I ever taught in the synagogue and in the temple, whither the Jews always resort, and in secret have I said nothing. Why askest thou me, ask them which heard me what I have said unto them. Behold, they know what I said. And when he had thus spoken, one of the officers which stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, Answerest thou the high priest so? Jesus answered him, If I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil. But if well, why smitest thou me? Now Annas had sent him bound unto Caiaphas the high priest. And Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. They said therefore unto him, Art not thou also one of his disciples? He denied it and said, I am not. One of the servants of the high priest, being his kinsman, whose ear Peter cut off, saith, Did not I see thee in the garden with him? Peter then denied again, and immediately the cock crew. Then they led Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment, and it was early, and they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Pilate then went out unto them and said, What accusation bring ye against this man? They answered and said unto him, If he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him up unto thee. Then said Pilate unto them, Take ye him and judge him according to your law. The Jews therefore said unto him, It is not lawful for us to put any man to death, that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spake, signifying what death he should die. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again, and called Jesus, and said unto him, Art thou the king of the Jews? Jesus answered him, Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight. But I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews, and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. But ye have a custom that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will ye therefore that I release unto you the king of the Jews? Then cried they all again, saying, Not this man, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a robber. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. All right, so verses 1 through 11, somewhere around there, is the first section. And in the first section, there are several things I want to point out to you. Christ knows that the betrayal is coming, and so what does he do? I know, I'll change my habits so they won't find me. No, he does exactly what he always does. He leaves the city, crosses over the brook Kidron, enters into the garden, to the place which he went every night that week. He'd already been there every night that week or so. I think if we traced it back, we would find that that's where he spent his evenings. And so he doesn't change his routine. You know who this reminds me of, right? It reminds me of Daniel. Some of you are probably thinking the same thing. When he heard that the decree was signed, he went to his window just as he had done before. There's no fear here in Christ. There's no faithlessness here in Christ. There is only a resolute moving forward in the calling with which he's been called to lay down his life. Let's remember also that Christ, having just finished his prayer for his disciples, after that he prays for himself. In the other gospel accounts, we have that record of what Christ was doing at that time in the Garden of Gethsemane. What was he doing? He was praying, Not my will, but thine be done. And so what was Christ found doing when he was at the cusp of his arrest? He was found in prayer. He was found in spiritual exercise. So Christ met the enemies, or his enemies, he met them in such a way as to have the greatest amount of strength available to him. That is, he met them with prayer, having committed himself to his Father's will. Note also then that when they come and they find him, that Jesus doesn't say to Peter, go out and see what they want. It's Jesus that goes to speak. And he says to them, whom seek ye? Now let's make sure we know who it is that have come to arrest him. They are the temple guard of that are at the behest of the Sanhedrin, scribes and Pharisees. Remember that the temple was a place where only certain people could go, and so it had its own security force. And they had been sent out once before, back in, I think it's John chapter 7, to arrest Christ. And they came back to the Pharisees and the Pharisees said, why didn't you bring him? And they said, well, nobody ever spoke like this man. That's at the end of John chapter 7. And that's when Nicodemus speaks up and he shouted down as well. So it's that same group of men. What do these men believe concerning Christ? Well, it's hard to know exactly because we don't have a direct testimony of it. But we have the fact that they refused to arrest him, that they said, no man ever spake like this man. And now they go, it seems to me, with trepidation to arrest him. Here they are standing side by side with Judas. And Jesus says, whom seek ye? And he says, Jesus of Nazareth. And he says, I am he, or I am. And as soon as he says that, they all take a defensive position on the ground. These soldiers, these temple guardians, took a few steps back. They went backward and they set themselves up in defense posture. It's one guy. Yet they are afraid of him. They have an inkling of who he might be. And so they go backward and they fall to the ground. Some commentators have said they were bowled over by the power of Christ's word and name. I don't think that's what's going on here at all. I think they put themselves in a defensive posture because they fear him. They know he's done notable miracles. They don't want him to do something to them. And so they go backward and put a little bit of distance between them and Christ and take up a defensive posture on the ground. So then Christ says it to them again, whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. I've told you that I am he, therefore if ye seek me, let these go their way. What Christ is asking for here is, take me and let my disciples go. And of course, this is according to the word of prophecy that's already been spoken. Now here's an interesting thing with regard to that word of prophecy, that it came true even in the most unusual of circumstances. Why? Because in front of that temple guard, that cohort as it's called elsewhere, which may have been as many as 50 soldiers, there's 11 disciples and Christ, there's 50 of them, Peter reaches out and strikes off Malchus's ear. And yet, he's let go. He's not arrested for assault. Malchus hadn't done anything to Peter. Peter reached out and said, if you're going to take Christ, there's going to be a fight. And so out he goes with his sword. And of course, we recognize, as one preacher has said, Peter wasn't aiming for his ear. Malchus just had good reflexes, right? And so he got his ear instead of his neck, because that's what Peter was no doubt aiming for. And of course, the Lord tells him to put up his sword. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? We don't hear anything of the legions of angels that are in the other gospel accounts. No, John is focused on Christ and his resolve to move forward in his mission. And so that's what we see here. That part of the story is what John is focused on. All right, so that takes us down then to Jesus being led away, bound to Annas first and then Caiaphas. And it's an interesting thing to think about. And if you read some of the histories, especially Josephus, you find out that the high priesthood had become utterly corrupt. Annas was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, not the true father, right? And normally the high priest would be by Aaronic succession. Well, it wasn't by Aaronic succession. Succession at all. These were profligate men. They were men that entered into the high priest's office because it was a lucrative office. And so even after you stopped serving as high priest, Annas, and your son Caiaphas had taken up in your stead, you still retained the office and title of high priest, so you could still get some of the perks. some of the perks. That's what's going on here. So the high priesthood, rather than being occupied by holy men, that there are two men operating as high priest at that time, tell us that they did so for graft and so on. So it's evidence of the corruption of the priesthood. Josephus details that in his history. Okay, so now we have something that's a little bit oblique here. Simon Peter followed Jesus, so did another disciple. That disciple was known unto the high priest and went in with Jesus into the palace of the high priest. Some commentators will say that this was John. John often refers to himself anonymously throughout the gospel. Well, that's a conjecture. The disciple whom Jesus loved, that's not a conjecture. We know for a fact that's John. But this disciple who is somehow associated to the high priest, I don't know that this is John the disciple. It is someone that's presented anonymously here, and this someone, it seems, has some kind of privilege because he's able to go in with Jesus into the judgment hall to the interview with Annas, and then he comes out and provides so that Peter can also come in to the interview. And this gives occasion for Peter's first denial for the young lady, the servant girl that kept the door at the house of Annas. And she says to him, "You're one of his disciples." And that's when he denied and he said, "I am not." That's in verse 17. So then we have an interlude here. Peter is warming himself by the fire with other servants and officers of the high priest's house. And now we cut to the high priest's interview, Annas' interview of Christ. And we're going to come back to Peter after a little bit on the interview. So the high priest asks him about his disciples and his doctrine. And again, resolutely, Christ says, "Well, ask these around, ask anyone who heard me teach. I ever taught in the synagogues and in public. I haven't said anything in secret. You shouldn't have to ask me. My doctrine is well known." That's what Christ says, unashamed and unafraid. So when he said that, apparently one of the officers thought that was too bold a response to the high priest. And so his physical sufferings begin then as one reaches out and it says that he struck him with the palm of his hand. He slapped him, no doubt, on the face or perhaps even maybe on the ear, saying, "Answerest thou the high priest so?" And, of course, Christ not offering a curse upon that man for striking him unlawfully reminds him of his station as a civil authority, saying to him, what? "If I have done evil, bear witness of the evil, but if well, why smitest thou me?" Well, Annas, satisfied with his time with Christ, then ships him off to Caiaphas, to the other high priest, right? Still under temple guard. And that brings us to verse 24. And now we hear that Simon Peter is outside and he's standing warming himself. And they said, "Are you not one of his disciples?" And he denied and said, "I am not." And then finally, the third denial comes with a relative of Malchus, whose ear was cut off. And Peter denies again, "Did I not see thee in the garden with him?" And Peter denied again, and immediately then we hear the rooster. And that portion of the chapter then comes to a close. And we pick it up in verse 28 and Caiaphas's interview with Christ. And note that it's not in the house now because he's high priest. It's in a judgment hall, right? So first of all, they go from Annas to Caiaphas and now to the hall of judgment. And the hall of judgment is where Pilate is. This is the hall of the Roman government. And this is where one of the ironies comes up that really do surround the trial and crucifixion of Christ. They refuse to enter into the judgment hall where Pilate sits, even if it were to give their testimony. And the reason they refuse is because they want to eat the Passover the next day, and they don't want to become unclean. So what have they done? They've done what Christ prophesied that they do in Matthew 23. They've strained out the gnat and swallowed the camel. They don't want to become ceremonially unclean, but they have no trouble committing an unjust murder. Right? Okay, so then Pilate went out to them instead. Pilate is forced from his judgment seat to go outside the judgment hall to them because they won't come in and testify because they don't want to become unclean. And Pilate goes out and he says, "Why have you brought this man to me?" And they say, "If he weren't a malefactor, we wouldn't have brought him. You don't need to worry about it. We don't need a trial here. That's already been concluded. You can go ahead and do your worst." Well, Pilate, at least for his part, is going to interview Christ to see if he thinks there's anything worthy of death in him. Now, Pilate is not, we don't want to commend Pilate too far because he does fail of the duty of a faithful magistrate here. But we don't want to speak of it worse than it is either, because Pilate doesn't just take the word of the Jews and then send him out to be crucified. He's a malefactor. Take our word for it. He says, "I think I'll interview him myself. Thank you." And so he does. And so the interview between Pilate and Christ is indeed very interesting as it unfolds. So Pilate takes him into the judgment hall. Oh, there's one other thing that is said here in 31 and 32 before we go to the judgment hall. And that is that Pilate says, "You take him and judge him according to your law." And they say, "It's not lawful for us to put anyone to death." And John immediately pulls up from the historical narrative and says, "This is in accordance with the word that Christ spoke, signifying what death he would die." That's all the way back to chapter 12, where Jesus says, "And if I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men to myself." Because if the Jews took him out and killed him, they would stone him and he would not be lifted up from the earth. It is only in Roman crucifixion that you're lifted up from the earth. And John wants us to make sure that Christ knew what kind of death he would die and at whose hands. Okay, so then Pilate enters the second time into the judgment hall after he's interviewed with the Jewish leaders, and they say, "Art thou the king of the Jews?" Well, Christ asks him a question in return, which speaks to Christ's assertion of his own authority even over Pilate. It's not as overt as it might have been, but Christ will make this known a little bit later. And so, Pilate, you can hear the sneer in his answer that Christ has taken the liberty to ask him a question instead of answering his question. He says, "Am I a Jew? It's your own people that have delivered you up." In other words, there's nobody here to defend you. Are you not going to defend yourself? This is not a wise course you're taking with me in asking a question or answering a question with a question. Right? Well then, Christ answers by saying that his kingdom is not of this world. His servants are not fighting to defend him because his kingdom is not from here. And Pilate will then ask him, "Art thou a king then?" Now this is an interesting answer by Christ. Listen to what he says. "Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." In other words, you're asking me if I am a king. Let me tell you what kings ought to do, Pilate. Kings ought to speak the truth. That's why I came into the world, to speak the truth. Yes, I am a king. I'm telling you the truth. Well, Pilate answers with the standard answer of the skeptic. What is truth? You have your truth. I have my truth. Well, we know, don't we, children, that truth is not a relative thing. There is no such thing as your truth or my truth. The truth is the truth. Thy word is truth. Christ has already prayed in that last chapter. So Pilate answers as the skeptic then, and normally what happens is when the skeptic answers with such a skeptical question, skepticism allows you to do whatever it is that you will. And that's what Pilate is doing here. He's answering that question with what is truth? in order that he may do whatever it is that he thinks is not true, but expedient. And the expedient course for Pilate is to let the Jews choose which one of the two between Barabbas and Christ they will have released to them at the Passover. That's the course of expediency. Very often, beloved, expediency is the enemy of truth, and truth the enemy of expediency. Very often, the true thing, the best thing, is the hard thing. Some of the best work that you do, beloved, will be the hard thing, right? All right, with that then, we come to the end of the chapter. Let's stand and call upon the Lord.